How do I deal with numbers in English? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel provides comprehensible input to help people improve their listening comprehension and their speaking ability in English. The level of content on this channel is best described as intermediate. If you're new to comprehensible input, I have a lot of videos that discuss what it is and how to use it. Comprehensible input is a terrific way to improve your English. So I started it out with a question, how do we deal with numbers in English? This is very much an adult's problem. As adults, we already know how to do math, and we know how to express numbers in our native language. But as we learn a new language, we find ourselves deficient in this area. I certainly did. If we focus on the difference between our level of expressing numbers in our native language as compared to our ability in the target language, in this case English, we can get frustrated. And we don't want frustration because frustration stresses us and can lead to burnout. So what we'd like to do from a strategy point of view is come up with a way of dealing with numbers in a less stressful way. One of the challenges with number expressions in comprehensible input is frequently the input doesn't have a lot of numbers in it. So these numerical expressions become low frequency words and they're harder to get a handle on. They're harder to understand. People wonder, well, should I try to learn numbers with comprehensible input, or should I learn them by rote methods? Should I study them? We do want to guard against using translation from our native language as the way to handle numbers. As I've said before in other videos, translation between the two languages is so slow compared to the speed of the language or the pace of the content that if you use translation as your method for dealing with numbers, you will be lost. You will get behind and you'll be very frustrated. So my approach is don't translate numbers. Learn them on their own so that when you see the number, it comes out in the target language. This may seem to you like a lot of trouble at the beginning, but trust me, if you put a little bit of time into this and you approach it from that point of view, you will be very happy with the results. For the language learner, translation of numbers is a dead end. It won't serve you long term. Some people have advocated using children's content to learn your numbers. There are a couple of disadvantages of children's content. I'll use an example here in the United States, Sesame Street. Sesame Street has a big presence on television and on YouTube, so getting access to Sesame Street episodes is super easy. The two problems I can identify for using children's content to learn numbers are, number one, sometimes this entertainment type content for children uses strange voices. They create characters, for instance, on Sesame Street, they have characters with distorted voices, so it's sometimes hard to understand the pronunciation. This is a common problem with children's content. The second problem is that since we are adults, we may find this children's content boring. If we use it, we should probably use it in small doses to avoid boredom. Another approach is to seek out content that contains a lot of numerical expressions. Now, this is going to vary with your interests. If you're very interested in science or in mathematics, you might find native content that you find very interesting that has a lot of numerical expressions. If you're interested in history, you might find history content that has a lot of dates. And of course, dates are numerical expressions. Finding good content that suits your interest and contains a lot of numerical expressions is a very individualized process. I invite you to do that. I certainly have. So what should we do about numbers? How do we avoid frustration if we're learning English and we don't know our numbers yet? For this, I split us into two groups. Those of us who are relatively early in our language learning journey, and those of us who are later in that process. Many of the folks watching this channel will be in that intermediate to advanced group and might want to follow that advice. For relative beginners, I would deal with numbers the way I deal with everything with comprehensible input. That is, notice it, don't study it, move on. Just relax. Let it be. Because you will gradually absorb that information as you see it again and again. Once you've gotten to the intermediate to advanced level, you may want to put a little more effort into it, but I would caution you against letting this hijack your language learning process. I approach this with a little module based on my curiosity. For the intermediate to advanced learner, I would advise, first of all, relax. Second, notice numbers. Number three, pronounce them. Say them out loud. This in the form of repeating what you have just heard, echoing what you have just heard. And then the last step is to produce those numbers from in here. The nice thing about this approach is we avoid overstressing ourselves. We do make progress. And really, learning our numbers up to proficiency is not very difficult. At the beginning, it looks difficult, but in reality, it's not very difficult. As you probably know, my comprehensible input journey is in Spanish. I'm a native English speaker learning Spanish from a very low level over the past 2 years with comprehensible input. The content which I accessed in Spanish was not very intensive in numbers. They were there, but not in great concentration. So I did some things to augment my exposure. I used the formula I recommended for intermediate learners. Relax, notice, pronounce, and then produce. So whenever I am hearing content or reading content, I notice the numbers. They're easy to recognize. They're easy to notice. If the content I'm consuming is listening content, then when I hear a number spoken, I say it as an echo. If the speaker on the video or the podcast says 1846, I say 1846. The last phase for my learning is to simply think of a number and then generate it in the target language. Say it in the target language. Now here you can use an online resource that everyone has access to, Google Translate. So you can set up Google Translate on your device with your native language in the left window so that you can input numbers. Then the right window is your target language, in this case, English. So once your device is set up that way, you can just type in the number 50, punch 50, and over on the right window, it will say 50. And then if you want to get the pronunciation, you can tap on the speaker icon and Google Translate will pronounce it for you. I literally did this in Spanish. I set up my windows as described in Google Translate. I would type in numerical expressions, and then Google Translate would produce the words that corresponded to how it said in Spanish. I was surprised how quickly this gave me more confidence in saying numbers. Doing these practices with Google Translate is inherently fairly boring, so I did it in very short sessions, 5 to 10 minutes at a time. Just put in a number, get the result, say it, and then eventually put in a number, and then before I looked at the right window to get the answer, I would generate the answer in my head. And then I would check it against that. I did a lot of very, very short drills with Google Translate, going from numbers to numerical expressions in Spanish. And again, I was surprised how quickly my confidence and proficiency built. Very short sessions. Those of you who have been on this channel before notice that I make a big deal about noticing things. Comprehensible input doesn't work if it's just running in the background. Your best acquisition of the language is if you notice things along the way. When I say notice something, I don't mean go look it up and spend an hour studying it. I just mean rest your mind on it, notice it, and then move on. It's the way comprehensible input works the best. This is why I have objects either on the mantelpiece, if I'm in the studio, or if I'm here on the couch, on this side table. That's a side table. You might say, what is that? That's a pinhole camera. We're going to talk about pinhole cameras. Not on this video, but one of the things that people have noticed is I put objects out, and frequently this is to foreshadow a future video, a future discussion. Now, the criticism that could be rested upon me for doing this could be construed as distracting. If everybody is looking at this and not listening to what I'm saying, then I could be criticized for defeating the process. I don't see it that way. I think humans are much more sophisticated than that. And my expectation is that someone would just look at that and say, what a funny little box, and then bet that I'm going to talk about it at some point in the future. I want people to notice things. As you listen to people saying numerical expressions in English, you're going to notice some patterns. Let's go through some of those patterns so that when you notice them, they will make more sense. We should recognize that numbers sometimes indicate a quantity, and sometimes they have no numerical meaning. Really? Really. So if I say 4 avocados, that is a numerical expression that has a mathematical use. You can add, subtract, multiply, and divide. You can use that number 4 in math. What if you use a number to indicate a street address or a phone number? Well, you can't do any math on a telephone number. If you divide a telephone number by 3, you get nonsense. That's because that number is not a numerical expression per se, it is a string. You don't do math on strings. So if you see a number that is a string, frequently people will state that aloud by pronouncing each digit. A phone number might be 972-6256. Seven digits pronounced individually because it's a string. You will see that pattern. When we are trying to be very clear with numbers, we will frequently pronounce individual digits. If you want to be certain that the person understood what you are saying, you say each digit by itself. You can't go wrong doing it that way. When the number is over 100 and less than 10,000, we have some choices. If the number is 1865, we could say 1865. That's a very conventional way to say it. Pronounce the number of thousands, say the number of hundreds, and then say the number of tens and units. Very orderly way, going from larger to smaller. Thousands, hundreds, tens, and units. In that range of 100 to 10,000, people frequently express the number of hundreds rather than splitting out the thousands. So that same number, 1865, could be said 1865. So we may group the number of hundreds and express them that way, saying 1865 as 1865. That's a very common way to say numbers between 100 and 10,000. Once you get to 10,000, it goes back to tens of thousands, thousands, hundreds, tens, and units. Each column is expressed individually. I'm going to keep using this 1865 number, but this time let's turn it into a date, a year. If it's a year, it's very common for people in the United States to refer to it without saying the word hundred. We previously said 1865, but if we see that it's a date, we may say 1865. That's the most common way you're going to hear dates. You're not going to hear that hundreds spoken out loud. It's understood. So what you might expect when you see 1965 would be people would say 1965. Well, that's what you would see in many cases. But if it's a date, more commonly you'll hear 1965. Now, as I give you these patterns, don't construe that there are a lot of hard and fast rules on this. These are just patterns that you will see, and if you expect them, then you can notice them and move on without any difficulty. I can tell you from my language learning journey, I'm now at the intermediate level in Spanish. I continue getting more input, and I noticed in months past some degree of frustration with number expressions. So I actually addressed this problem in my own program exactly the way I've described it here. I relaxed. I notice things. When I see expressions, I say them out loud. And then I move to the production of numerical expressions aloud as my last phase. This has been going extremely well. And looking back at the process, I can tell you now, numbers are not that big a deal. This has been very encouraging to me. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.